story time. Now our theme for this week is all about clothes, isn't it? What people wear. Yesterday's story, as we've heard, has been reminded of, was about a boy who couldn't keep his clothes clean. Today's story is about a man who was wearing the wrong clothes. And this is a story that comes out of God's book, the Bible, and it is a story that Jesus told to his followers. And I want just to read it to you. It's a very short story. It's called The Story of the Wailing Feast. And I may ask you some questions on it a bit later. Okay. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a king who prepared a wailing feast for his son. He said to his servants, go into the main streets and invite to the feast as many people as you can find. So the servants went out into the streets and they gathered all the people they could find, good and bad alike. And the wedding hall was filled with people. The king went in to look at the guests and saw a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The king asked him. But the man said nothing. Then the king called the servants, tie him up, hand and foot, and throw him outside in the dark. There he will cry and grind his teeth. Jesus said, many are invited, but few are chosen. The man who was wearing the wrong clothes. Now, heads up, how many of you boys and girls like dressing up? You like fancy dress? All of you, good. What do you like to dress up as?
Pikachu.
Oh, Pokemon. Who do you like to dress up as?
A car.
A princess. Oh, lovely, that's good. Well, I like dressing up, and I've also done some dressing up things this morning. It's not only boys and girls who like to get dressed up, grown-ups like to do it too. And I'm sure that some of your mums and dads at times have been invited to a fancy dress party, and they've had to either hire or make a costume for the evening. And of course people get dressed up to take part in theatre, don't they? In pantomimes at Christmas, Cinderella and Jack and the Beanstalk and so on. In fact, I think it's true to say that most of us spend most of our lives dressing up. People get dressed up to go to work, don't they?
Yeah.
If your dad's a postman, he'll have to put on a special postman's uniform. Or if your mum's a nurse, or dad's a nurse, they'll have to put on the nurse's uniform. Or if they're a painter and decorator, they'll put on the long white overalls to protect themselves from all the paint. And of course, you boys and girls get dressed up, don't you, when you go to school? You have to put on a school uniform. And each school has its own individual colours. And so colours are important, because what a person wears tells us a lot about that person. Suppose, for example, you were invited to Buckingham Palace to have tea with the Queen. And what would happen if you turned up at the palace with dirty clothes on and holding? What would the Queen say?
You can't come to my wedding.
She'd be very unhappy. It would be a sign of disrespect, wouldn't it? To turn up at Buckingham Palace dressed in ordinary dirty old clothes. And of course, what would happen if you turned up at school without your school uniform on? What would the teacher say? Yes?
They'd probably
be excited and go home. Yes, it makes them get home, yes. more misbehaving, that's right, isn't it? But you would be in trouble, wouldn't you? I remember when I was your age, at school, we had a very cross headmaster, and he had a thing about ties. And he would prowl around the corridors, and if he saw somebody coming along without a tie on, he would jump out at you, and he would wave his finger at you, and he would say, "Boy, where's your tie? T-I-E, put your tie on." And he thought we couldn't spell. Probably he was right. But we had to put our ties on, and if we didn't have a tie, well, sometimes he would send us home to get it. And of course, it's the same at work. If your dad turned up, if he was a postman, and he refused to put on his postman's uniform, well, he'd be sent home, wouldn't he? He'd be disciplined, or he may even be given the sack for refusing to wear the right clothes. And so you see, clothes are important, not just to keep our bodies warm, not just to look nice, but we need to wear the right clothes for the right occasion. And you know, the Bible has a lot to tell us about clothes. And I wonder if anybody's clever enough this morning to tell me what were the clothes that were worn by the first man and the first woman in the world, Adam and Eve. What type of clothes? We read that they made themselves clothing. What was it?
They had fur.
No, it wasn't fur. That came later, they did have skins.
Leaves.
Anybody remember the type of leaves that they chose?
Big.
Big, yes, big leaves. They were the biggest leaves that they could find on the reef, but they sewed them together to provide clothes for themselves, to cover themselves. That was a strange thing to wear, wasn't it? Big leaves. I've not seen anybody walking down the street. But you see, when God first made this wonderful world, and he created the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, they were completely naked. They didn't wear any clothes at all. And although they were naked, they didn't feel any shame. They weren't embarrassed about their bodies because there was no sin in their hearts. God made them absolutely pure and perfect. They didn't have any dirty thoughts in their minds towards one another. They were pure and innocent. They had no sin and wrong in their hearts. And God placed Adam and Eve in a beautiful place, didn't he? It was a garden. Can anybody remember the name? The Garden of
Eden.
That's right. And it was really heaven upon earth, wasn't it? It was paradise. It was probably something like this. Look at that. It's not just like a little garden like we would have at the back of our house, but it's like a big country park. There would be a river flowing through it and lovely trees. Everything was beautiful. You know, the sun shone every day because there was no rain in those days. No rain in paradise. We read how God would water the ground with a mist, just like the Lord in June. And all the animals were friendly. There were no wild animals in those days. So you could stroke the lion and he wouldn't growl at you. And the lion could play with the little man. You could play with the snakes, and everything was friendly and perfect in God's paradise. We read also there were no weeds. So, gardening was an easy thing. You didn't have to do anything because everything was beautiful. It was the same every day. The grass was always green and the flowers were always a beautiful colour. And Adam, indeed, Adam was given the name of naming the animals. That was an interesting thing, wasn't it? What fun that was. And we read how God would come down into the garden in the cool of the day and he would walk and talk with Adam and Eve. Everything was perfect and beautiful in Eden. That is until the devil came upon the scene. And the devil tempted Adam and Eve to disobey God and to do wrong. You see, God said to Adam and Eve that there was only one thing that they should not do in Eden. Can anybody tell me what it was?
Not to eat
from that tree. That's right. God said that there was fruit from one tree that they were not allowed to eat. They could eat the fruit of all the other trees, but there was this tree right in the middle of the garden. Here it is. And it was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said to Adam and Eve, when you eat that fruit, you will be punished by death. You will die. And so it was a serious warning, wasn't it? Now, we don't know what the fruit was, whether it was apples or something else. These look more like watermelons, don't they? That's it. But it was good fruit, but It was a test, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was a test to see whether they really loved God, whether they would really obey what God had said. And then we read how the devil came into the garden. And what form did he take? Yes?
The serpent.
He came in the form of a snake, didn't he? They don't really have it. A crafty snake. You see, it was a real snake, but the devil entered the snake. The devil is a spirit, an evil spirit. And he entered into that snake, and he began to tell Eve to take the forbidden fruit. The devil said to her, "You're not really dying. God's not telling you the truth. But listen to God. He's keeping back from you something that would be really tasty and delicious. This fruit would make you really wise. If you ate this fruit, Eve, you would be like God." And Eve thought about that. That would be good, wouldn't it, to be like God? And she looked at it, and she thought, "Surely it won't matter if I take some fruit and eat it." And so she took it, and she ate it. And then she gave some to Adam, and he ate it too. And the Bible tells us, at the very moment they disobeyed God, sin entered into their hearts, and their hearts became dirty and evil with sin. And then their eyes were opened, and they suddenly realized that they were naked. And now their bodies became a problem to them, and they felt ashamed of themselves, and they felt guilty. And so they tried to find something to cover up their bodies. And of course they found the fig leaves, didn't they? They sewed them together, and they made clothes for themselves. And then they had God speaking to them in the garden. And because they felt so guilty that they ran away and they hid themselves among the trees of the garden. You see, God was angry with them, wasn't he? Because they had disobeyed him. They had done the thing that he told them that they should not do. And we read that God was angry because they had tried to cover up themselves with fig leaves. And God wasn't happy with his clothing. And so God threw them out of the garden. He drove them away from his presence, out of heaven upon earth. And you know, ever since that day, people have been trying to find something to cover up their sins. Do you know, there are many people today who think that they can cover themselves up and make themselves acceptable to God by putting on the suit of good works. The suit of good works, and I've got it here. Who'd like to come and try it on? Sin. Would you like to come and try it on? Come on. Oh, look at that. Doesn't that look smart?
Yes.
That would be a good boy. Just look at that suit. Look at all those kind of wonderful things he does. He has shopping for his mum. He always does his homework. At home. But he was washing up at home. He's always honest. He never tells any lies. But he makes his bed. And he tells the truth, and he helps people. He went and gets his pocket money every week to help the poor. And he's caring too. This is the suit of good works. But you know, although these things are very lovely, none of these things can cover up our sin and our bad and wrongdoing. None of these things can make us right in the sight of God. But you know, the very best things that we can do are not good enough to get us into heaven, into God's presence. And this is what God says about the suit of good works. He said, "We are all like an unclean thing, and all our good works are like filthy rags." You see, to stand in the presence of God dressed in the suit of good works is just like standing in the presence of the king or the queen of the country clothed in filthy, dirty rags. God is not happy. He will not accept it. The suit of good works cannot make us right with God. And then there are many other people today, and they think, "What else can I find to cover up my sins and make me right with God? I know, I'll clothe myself with a suit of religion." A suit of religion, I've got it here. Who let me find this one? Oh, look at that. It's like a glove, doesn't it? What a religious person she is. Look, she reads her Bible. She gets baptized. But she goes to church every day. She wears a cross. But she takes Holy Communion. She goes into fasting. But what else have we got here? Well, she's a Sunday school girl as well. She prays all the time. And she's always singing praises to God. What a religious person she is. But you know, although these things may be good in and of themselves, they cannot cover over our sins. And they cannot put us right with God. You know, in the Bible we read of a man by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a very religious person. You couldn't find a more religious person. He went to the temple every day to pray, and he taught the people all about God. But you know when Jesus met him? Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You see, it's not enough, Nicodemus, just to be religious on the outside. It's not enough just to go to church and read the Bible and say our prayers. That will not wash away our sins. That will not make us acceptable in the sight of God. We need to be born again. We need to have a spiritual change in our hearts. We need to have a new clean heart on the inside. It's not enough just to be religious on the outside. The super religion again is useless. Give it up because it cannot make us right with God. You see, boys and girls, we need to be properly dressed if we are to get into heaven. We need to have on the right clothes if we are to be accepted by God the King. Now, do you remember that story I told you from Matthew 22 of the wedding feast? Jesus said that there was a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. And the servants sent out all the invitations, and soon the wedding hall was filled, like this floor, with all the guests. But when the king arrived, he looked at the guests, and suddenly, right in the middle, he noticed that there was one guest who was different from all the rest. What was different about him? He didn't have his wedding clothes on. Everybody else was dressed in special wedding clothes. But this man was dressed in his ordinary clothes. He thought he was all right as he was. He didn't need any special wedding clothes. And he stuck out like a sore thumb. And of course the king was very angry, wasn't he? Now why do you think the man didn't have any wedding clothes on? No, it wasn't because he was poor, it wasn't because he couldn't afford to buy any wedding clothes. Because you know, in those days, when a king prepared a great wedding feast, when he sent out the invitations, he would provide all of the guests with a free wedding garment. Free wedding clothes. So people didn't have to buy any. People didn't have to look in the wardrobe and say, oh, I've got nothing to wear. No, they were given special wedding garments. And I've got one here. And this man was given one of these, free of charge. But you see, he refused to put it on. He thought that his own clothes were good enough. He didn't need to wear any special clothes to come into the presence of the king and attend the wedding feast. He could come in ordinary clothes. And the king was very upset, wasn't he? And he said to the man, friend, how did you get in here without any wedding clothes on? The man was speechless. He didn't have anything to say. He had no excuse to make. He should have put it on, but he didn't. He thought he was all right as he was. And the king told the servants to take that man and to throw him outside into the darkness because he had insulted the king. You see, boys and girls, we need to be properly dressed if we are to enter God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. We need to be properly clothed if we are to come into God's presence and be welcomed by Him. And do you know the wonderful good news? Is that God has provided something to cover up our sin. God has provided a garment for every one of us. And it is the garment of salvation. Do you remember our verse? Our memory verse. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for He has clothed me with the garment of salvation. You see, the wonderful thing is that God has provided a garment for every one of us. And that is why the Lord Jesus left heaven's glory. And that is why He came into this world as a little baby and grew up. And that is why He went to the cross on the Good Friday. He came to die, didn't He, for us? He came to die upon that cross to take the punishment for our sins, so that we could be made clean, we could be forgiven, and we could be clothed in the garments of God's wonderful salvation. And you know, God offers this garment to every one of you boys and girls this morning. And the wonderful thing is, He offers it to you free of charge. You don't have to earn it, you can't buy it in the shops. No, God offers it to you as a free gift for his love. But the most important question is, how do we receive it? How do we receive the covering for our sin, the garment of salvation? Does anybody know? Yes? Yes, we have to be sorry for our sins, don't we? What else? We have to pray, don't we? We have to believe and pray and ask Jesus to give it to us. We need to go to Jesus in prayer and say, thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins upon that cross, so that you may provide me with a free garment of salvation, that I might be acceptable in God's presence, and that I might be able to go to the wedding feast of heaven. And we have to ask him to clothe us in it. And if we do that, he will answer us. He will cover up all our sins, and he will give us the garment of salvation, and we will be ready to stand in God's presence, and we will be fit for the wedding on that last day. Let me ask you one thing else this morning. Are you properly dressed in the presence of God?
Yes.
Have you received that garment of salvation? Let us pray to you. Dear Lord, we thank you for going to that cruel cross at Calvary to die for our sins, to provide a garment so that we can stand accepted in your presence, and that we can go to that wedding feast in heaven. And we do pray that each boy and girl here, and mum and dad, may turn to the Lord Jesus this Easter time and confess our sins and ask that we might be forgiven and that we might be clothed, that we might be properly dressed in your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.